Hey folks, it is Sunday night, the 19th of March 2017, and you're listening to episode 59 of AIH Superfans Podcast. I am one of your super fan super pals. My name is Alan, and on Twitter you can find me at Slip with five eyes, or Slip.
Hey, it's Roddy, and I'm at Big Poppy Peg City.
I'm Brian, and you can find me on twitter.com at Brian from AIH.
And I'm Chris, CMACK Live on Twitter.
And
CMAC Live, yo!
And we have a guest with us for the first part of the show today, and I'm excited to have him on. He was a guest also on the 20416 podcast back in the heyday. Peter Harling is here on Twitter. You can find him at P Harling. He is the managing editor at Dauber Prospects and co-host of the Dauber Prospects radio show. He's also a writer for McKean's Hockey and today's Slapshot, and he says on his Twitter, find me at the rink watching the greatest game, and I've found him at quite a few rinks across Southern Ontario over the last 6 months or so. Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
Peter, can you talk a little bit of, I was actually describing to Chris and Brian before you came on what Dauber Prospects does. Can you give a bit of a description about where to find it and what the site is about?
Sure. So Daryl Dobbs started the Dauber Hockey Network. Dauber Hockey is the main site, and it's a fantasy hockey site for all those people out there in fantasy pools looking for tips and strategies and whatnot. And then a sister site of his is Dauber Prospects, and it's dedicated to fantasy hockey prospects with a fantasy focus. So we have a team of writers, about 30 of us, one for each team, covering all the NHL prospects from across the world. So yeah, it's a lot of work, but we love what we do, so we're happy to do it.
And you're in some pretty deep dynasty hockey pools, am I right, where you actually have some of these undrafted prospects on your teams already?
Yeah, a couple of them. Two of them are pretty much the same format, and one is composed entirely of the writers from Dauber Prospects, the Dauber Prospects Fantasy Hockey League, or DPFHL, and it's basically a sim league. So you manage the team that you write for. You have a full NHL roster, and it's a head-to-head roto style pool, so hits and blocks and all the greasy banger and mash sort of stats. And then we also have a prospect roster that's like a full 27 players deep or whatever it is.
how many games with prospects have you seen over the last, I guess the OHL season's actually almost wrapped up tonight. I know they have one more makeup game to play on Tuesday in Mississauga, but other than that, the season's done. So how much hockey did you see this year?
Quite a bit. I don't do a count of the games, but I try to get to a couple a week on average. My day job gets me around Eastern Ontario, so I catch games at home in Kingston and on the road in Peterborough, Ottawa, Gatineau, Oshawa. I go to AHL games in Toronto as well, catch the Marlies, and I'm really looking forward to the Senators' move to Belleville next season, which is right in my backyard, so my AHL exposure will be even better.
Peter and I saw a Pete's game, which was pretty good, and with the most entertaining part being the old lady who flung a bra over her head whenever the Pete's would score.
Yeah, that was entertaining. I'm not sure how else to describe it, but interesting.
So we can go around the horn here if anybody has prospect questions. I know Brian, you do. I guess before I pass it over, I'll go right away to three prospects from the Jets, and I don't think only one of them plays in the OHL, so I don't know what you know about all of them, but I guess the first one I want to know about is Logan Stanley, who is a polarizing figure amongst the Jets community, I think.
Sure. What do you need to know? He's the savior.
It's Chara right there.
I thought that was Tucker Pullman's the savior.
Oh, we'll get to him.
I'm not sure either of those guys are the answer, but yeah, Logan Stanley is a polarizing prospect for sure, and I think a lot of that has to come from, for Dauber Prospects, we rank him really low. In our fantasy ranking, the draft posts that we do every year, he didn't make our first round last year, just mainly because he has very little offensive upside. He's a big he's a throwback defenseman. You know, he's really big, he's strong, he's defensively responsible. He chops down players in front of his own net, clears them out, good in the corners and all that, but not the fleetest of foot and doesn't have a lot of offensive upside. So his game doesn't really translate to fantasy hockey very well. So a lot of people are kind of poo-poo on him. But if you're actually running a real-life hockey team, he can be a very valuable asset to you, and I think he's having a great season. His offensive totals this year in the OHL have actually increased. The game we saw him play in Peterborough, I noticed that he was putting in a lot more effort into his offensive game, and they were trying to drive their power play through him a little bit more. I think that was by default. But anyways,
he was the first star in that game.
Yeah, he took a lot of shots. Not all of them were of the dangerous variety, and not all of them made it on net or through to the net. But I wouldn't say it's without hope, his offensive game. But not necessarily a fantasy asset.
So there you go, guys. Not without hope. Right? do you know much about Tucker Poolman?
Not a lot, no. I don't get to see too much NCAA hockey here in north of the 49th. I know he plays for North Dakota. I'm not sure if their season's over yet or not. I think his season is. He seems to have suffered a nasty injury the other day. So it could be the end of his year regardless.
He got. He said they lost yesterday. I think they're done. Their last, they lost to Minnesota or no, to Duluth, and they're, I guess, in their qualifier for the Frozen Four. They lost in the final, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's probably the end of his NCAA career. I would expect him to sign a pro contract next year, and I would imagine the Jets would want to get him out before he runs into his fourth year, and they're looking at the potential of him becoming an unrestricted free agent. So I'm sure they'll come at him hard with a contract.
That potential is after this season, isn't it? It's August this year, isn't it?
No, NCAA players have four years, and he's just finished his junior season, so he'd have a senior year to go, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so too. So if he doesn't sign, basically if he goes back to college next year, then you have that Jimmy Vesey situation where if he doesn't sign over this summer, then I think the odds of him becoming a Winnipeg Jet go down quite a bit.
I might be mistaken, but I thought it was this year. I thought that he started playing college at an older age. Brian, you know, right?
I don't know for sure, but I thought that was the case too, because he started late. And he's 23 now, and I remember last offseason being a huge deal that he didn't sign.
Yeah, because he's the same age as Jacob Trouba.
No, he's Scheifele's age.
Oh, he's Scheifele's age.
Yeah, he's a couple months younger than Scheifele.
Yeah, so I thought this this August 1st was D-Day for Tucker Pullman.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but if it is, I don't think that changes anything. The Jets are still going to go hard at him with a contract, and he'll be playing pro hockey next year, I believe. Probably a year in the AHL.
And how about Spasek from out in Red Deer?
Sure, yeah. He's having a hell of a season. He's got himself about 30 and 50, about 85 points in whatever, about 60 games, whatever it is. And he played for Czechs at the World Juniors as well. He did all right there. He scored a couple of points. I think it was five points in six or seven games. He's still young. He's 19. He's in his second season in Red Deer. He's probably going to be a few years away from contributing to the Jets roster, and they're deep at forwards. Lots can change. But he's certainly a player who's I think the Jets are going to get great value. He's a fourth-round pick from 2015. So when you can get a player that's looking like he's going to play in the NHL for you out of the fourth round, that's a really good pick.
Are you familiar with Luke Green?
Yeah, a little bit. He's a defenseman. He's from St. John's at the start of the season. He was traded to Sherbrooke. He had a bit of a falling out with St. John's. He didn't like the way he was being deployed. So it's rare that you see a player asked to be traded out of one of the top teams. And St. John's is right up at the top of their league.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he moved to Sherbrooke, and he's getting more ice time, and he's putting up more points there. So I'm not sure how that's going to affect his development. Playing for a lesser team, he might not go as far in the playoffs, but he's getting more ice time, and he's got a larger role with the team there. So, yeah, he's a player who's also a few years away.
Brian, do you know of anyone else you're curious to know about?
Nobody that's currently in the pool, but this draft class does kind of interest me.
All right, so I guess we can move forward to this upcoming draft class. And we're just looking at the top end right now, you know, not into any deep sleepers or anything. The Jets are going to end up very likely picking 5 to 10 unless Lightning strikes twice and we win that draft lottery again. So is there anybody interesting in the 5 to 10 range, especially defensemen, who you have on any of your lists?
Yeah, this draft gets a bad rap. Everyone's talking about how it's not a great draft, and which is true. It doesn't have a generational player. Like in the last 2 years, if you picked in the top two, you're walking away with someone like McDavid or Eichel or Matthews or Laine, and that's amazing. So this draft doesn't have anyone that's going to have that kind of an impact either next year in the NHL or down the road, long term, I don't think. So your first top two picks, I think, are pretty much locked in with Nolan Patrick and Nico Hischier. So then after that, looking at potential players, it's kind of a toss up after that. We did a mock draft on our site where all the writers picked for their team, and we had the Jets slotted in at 9th.
How generous of you!
we used Tank Nation, I think it is a website that generates the draft lottery based on the current standings of that day. So, and this was a few weeks ago, so it put the Jets in at 9. And we picked Cale Makar out of as CJHL.
Defenseman, yeah.
That's right. That's organizational need. And at 9th, I think that's tremendous value if you can land a player like that. But some other players that are in that range that you're talking about, looking at defensemen, because that's kind of where I think the Jets might want to go. Timothy Liljegren has been seeing his draft stock fall. At the beginning of the year, he was projected 2, right behind Nolan Patrick. Started the year with mono and never really got his stride after that. In his draft, I think he had another injury after that as well. So he missed the World Juniors. It's been a terrible season for him, but I don't think the draft fall in the rankings is a really fair condition for him, because, you know, mono's not it's not a chronic disease. Uh-huh. And it's not going to come back. It's not going to hurt him going forward. And he was ranked number 2 at the start of the year for a reason. So if the Jets draft anywhere between 5 and 10, and, you know, Liljegren's available, he could be a cornerstone defenseman for them. Miro Heiskanen is another guy who I think will be drafted pretty high as a defenseman. Nick Hague, who plays in the OHL, big, but has more to his game than Logan Stanley does that way.
How high did you guys project Hague?
We had him at 13.
I've seen him all over the map.
I'm looking at one right now. He's at 17.
Yeah, I mean, he's big. He skates really. We watched him play live at the start of the year at the old Maple Leaf Gardens. I was impressed with what I saw for a guy his size. It's not he plays a physical game, so he has that element. He didn't look out of place defensively. He made good reads. He's got, you know, such a large wingspan with his stick. Very active stick. He's hard to get around. You can't go through him. And he's got a tremendous offensive game, too. He carried the puck up the ice with authority, kind of like Dustin Byfuglien. And he's got a heavy shot from the point. So there's a lot to like about his game.
I've seen him play, I think, 4 or 5 times, because Mississauga's the closest team to my place. And I really noticed him. I saw them this weekend and didn't see much out of him. Really noticed him a couple of weeks ago. Just, I think he scored a goal. He knocks guys on their ass. Where Logan Stanley seems responsible, Nick Hague, like, stands out as being, you know, somewhat of an offensive force and a physical force, but in the right way, like, not taking bad penalties, but actually, again, being imposing and using his size.
Yeah. And, you know, he's 18 years old, and like a lot of 18-year-old prospects, there's going to be a lot of inconsistency to their game. You're going to see some games where you're like, wow, that guy's going to be great. And then there's going to be other games you're going to watch him play, and you're going to be left wanting. You're like, what happened to the great guy? This is mediocre at best. And defensemen mature a little bit slower positionally than other players as well. So there's a lot to like on his file, and the upside is pretty high, but it's not such a sure thing.
Do you see anyone else sneaking into the top 10 defensive-wise, or is it kind of, you know...
Yeah, maybe Valimaki, who plays out in the West.
Yeah. How about forwards? Now, Hersher and Patrick, I know a lot of people have talked about. I'm seeing a couple of other names here that I just wanted to get your take on. I haven't seen a lot of Gabriel Vilardi other than early in the season seeing some Windsor Spitfire games, but what do you think of him?
Yeah, he was injured the game they came through my neck of the woods, so I didn't get to see him. We were at that game, actually.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see him there, but I saw him play at the top prospect game in Quebec. I really like him. He's a versatile forward. He's responsible two-way. He's a natural center, but he's been playing the wing a lot with Windsor this year so that he can play in a line with Logan Brown. He's really good down low. He's strong on the puck. He's got really good hands and good vision. So he's good on the cycle, and he makes pretty heads-up plays. He makes some passes, and you know, the kind of pass you're like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. So he disguises his intentions well, and he can finish if he has to too, right? And he's big, and he can strong. He can drive the net if he gets a little bit of time and space with the puck out of the corner. He can just skate his way right into the front of the net. He's a great player. He'll go top five, I think. And he's got potential to be a first line center, maybe better slotted in the second role or maybe on the wing, but. You know, if Tyler Bozak can be a first-line center for the Leafs, then Vilardi can be a first-line center for a lot of other teams.
Another guy who I never got a chance to see this year, but I'm seeing all over the place, especially in the second half of the season, was Nick Suzuki of Owen Sound. Have you seen him at all?
Yeah, I've watched him on TV. I saw him at the top prospect game, and I saw him live once. I'm a big fan of this kid. You know, they kind of reminds me a little bit, not so much in his style of play, but Adam Mashkarin last season, everyone was saying he's an undersized player. And that's just not true. Yes, he's short at 5'11 or whatever he is, but he doesn't play a little man's game. You know, it's not like Kyler Yamamoto. He's a little guy, and he plays a little guy's game. His game is predicated on creativity and offense. But Suzuki, he can grind it out a little bit. He's not afraid to go into the corner and fight for pucks, and he's not afraid to stand in front of the net. He's got hockey strength. You know, he's hard to knock off the puck when he's got it, even though he's short. He's not as strong, I don't think, as Mascarin, but he has similar elements to his game that way, and he thinks the game really, really fast. Makes plays, he knows where everyone and anticipates where people are going to be, so that also makes him hard to check. You know, he's really good at finding seams and openings for either carrying the puck or making a pass. So and Suzuki's a player I like.
One more guy from the OHL who I've seen quite a bit this year is Owen Tippett. Kid can score goals, then they're beautiful. Like but I mean, from what I've seen, like I've seen him score a couple of really great goals this year. I find that at least so far, that's kind of all he does. Not that that's a bad thing, but you know, I see him kind of as just a weapon. I don't know if you see anything else in his game.
There's three components of his game that I think are above average to exceptional, and it's his speed, his size, and his tendency to score goals. And all three of those things translate really, really well to professional hockey. That being said, he's going to have to round out his game and use his teammates more effectively. I mean, it can be done. I mean, we could be talking about Alex Ovechkin or Patrick Laine, and they love to score goals, and they're big, and they skate really fast as well. And, but, you know, and everything in their game kind of supports their ability to shoot the puck very well. So I think that's something that Tippett's got to try and model his game after. He's like a Logan Stanley, but the opposite side of the spectrum. He'd be someone you'd really, really want to own in your fantasy pool, because he's going to rack up all kinds of shots and goals and power play points and probably hits. So he'll stuff a whole bunch of your fantasy stat categories. But if you're running an actual hockey team, goals are great, but I know he's going to make a lot of other mistakes too. So
he's got a bit of an attitude too. The game I saw this weekend, I think someone took a penalty on him and they were chirping, and then you can just see him clearly pointing at the penalty box to the guy who's taking the penalty. It's like, yeah, go in the box, go in the box. I was like, that's, you know, I mean, he's playing against other kids, but I was like, a 17-year-old with that kind of moxie is interesting. The only other person in the OHL who I wanted to ask about, and sorry for hogging the time, other super fans, but did the Winnipeg Jets traded up picks 22 and 36 to go up for Logan Stanley? Now, if they'd kept those picks, 22, they could have taken a defenseman. At 36, that's about where DeBrincat went, Alex DeBrincat. Did they make a mistake? Did Chicago really get a steal with this guy?
I think so. At the time, I thought he was drafted about where he should have been. Yeah, he scores a lot of goals, but you know, he's tremendously undersized, and that's not as big a problem in the NHL as it used to be, and it's becoming even less of a problem. In fact, it's so much to the point now where I would say it's not a problem. You know, if you've got size, it's good. It's an advantage. That's not irrelevant. But if you're small, it doesn't matter. As long as you can provide something that makes you valuable. So, and it's got to be more than just one thing, right? Like, if you've got a wicked shot, that's fantastic, but it's not going to get you to the NHL. You got to have more than that. You've got to be able to skate for sure. What I think is going to serve DeBrincat really well is he carries the puck so cleanly. He never seems to need to look at it. And he's very elusive. I've never seen him get hit really hard. And I've seen guys try, you know, like they're trying to line him up, knock him down, and they just can't catch him. And if he gets into trouble, he always has an outlet. He knows where to move the puck to keep it in play. You know, there's a lot of prospects who have great hands and whatnot, but often plays will die with them because they just don't have the vision to do anything with it. So DeBrincat's got the vision. He's got an incredible shot. I think he had the top-rated shot in the coach's pool for the Western Conference this year, or he was the runner-up. So, yes, I think he's got what he needs to make it to the NHL, and I think the Hawks got a bit of a steal with that pick. I can't imagine how the United States World Junior team kept him off the roster, but they won gold despite that. So you can't really criticize that, I guess, too much. But that should be something that that goes on to motivate him. He's had a record-breaking career in the OHL with three consecutive seasons of 50 goals and 100 points. So that counts for something too.
And I don't think he's going to be back with Erie, right? Like, he may not make the Hawks right away, but he's going to play professional next year, do you think? Because he's still eligible for one more year of junior if they decide on it, right?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if he started in the OHL at 16 or 17. Off the top of my head, I don't know how old he is.
19. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. 12/18/97.
Yeah, so being a CHL player, if he's 19 now, then I'm not sure when his birthday is. So he might be in that situation where it's, you know, it's back to junior or into the NHL. And I'm not sure that he's ready for the NHL now. I think he could absolutely use at least one season of professional seasoning in the AHL.
All right, guys, anything else from other superfans on this
show? I have a question about two WHL players I don't get to see much
But I've seen two guys talked about for the Jets, one forward, one defenseman. Cody Glass from Portland and Cal Foote from Kelowna.
Sure. I'm a really big fan of Cody Glass, and I think he could be one of the more underrated players in the draft this year. I'm not sure where he's ranked on the majority of rankings, but in our mock draft, we had him go at 11, and I think that was kind of low. He's had a really good season with Portland this year, a total breakout performance. He was good in his rookie season, scoring, I believe it was 20 goals as a rookie, but he's got upwards of 95 points, whatever it is right now this season. So he's another one of the smart players, a very cerebral player. He's got tremendous hands. He made a sublime pass at the top prospects game I was at, where he went behind the net and he made a backhand pass behind him, back out in front of the net. I forget who finished it off. I think it might have been Rasmussen. But it was a wow, didn't see that coming kind of play, like very impressive highlight reel style. And he's got good height. He's 6'2", I believe it is, but he's a little light. So pretty much all he really needs to do is add some meat to his slender frame, and he projects as a really good pro player. So if the Jets can get him, that's a player I would be excited about. Callan Foote is a defenseman. He's Adam Foote's son. He's got a younger brother that's coming up in the draft, I think next year as well. He'd be a great pick. I'm not sure how high he's going to go in the draft. Maybe not a first round player, but he could be a great value pick for whoever scoops him up. He plays a pretty similar game to his old man, where he's not an explosive offensive player, but he can carry the puck, and you can put him on the points on a power play, and he can he hammer it on the goal, and he can keep the play moving. He's more effective, I think, projecting defensively than offensively. But he's got good size and a bit of a mean streak to him as well. So.
Anything else, guys, on the phone? Huh?
I was wondering my favorite thing with prospects is who they project to. Who would you project Nolan Patrick to, or compare him to, I guess, at his full potential?
Sure. We do the fantasy ranking, the 2017 NHL draft on Dobber Prospects, and on each player that we put on the first top 31, we have a player comparable for them as well. So for Nolan Patrick, was you asked?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have him. We have him down as maybe Ryan Getzlaff. Now, so these are style comparisons. They're not point projections, but yeah, I think it's a pretty reasonable assumption for him to come into the NHL, be a first line center, nice all around player. He's got everything. He's got size. He's defensively responsible. He skates very well. He's strong. Good offense. Makes passes. Scores goals. He's a jack of all trades, but a master of none. You know, he's good but not great.
Very good.
Come on, Roddy. You got to have one question.
Yeah, my question is, do the Jets really have the best prospects, period?
Good question.
They're definitely in the mix. Them and Arizona and Toronto, I would say, and maybe Minnesota would be right up in there. Depends on what you define as prospects and where you make the cutoff. If you take out guys like Patrick Laine and Austin Matthews, that knocks the Jets and the Leafs down a little bit, but it keeps Arizona in because Strome didn't make the cut this year. So they're right up there at the top of the league, and I think they get a bit of a bad rap on their, well, they only have good offensive players, forwards. They don't have any D. You've got two players on your roster Morrissey and Trouba who are under 24 years old. So they've got a lot of tread left on their tire. I don't think they have anything in the AHL to get excited about, but they do have some defensive prospects playing in junior around the world that are relevant, particularly some of the guys we talked about, Logan Stanley and Tucker Poolman. Bit of a wild card with Jack Glover, who I believe is another example of an NCAA player who's yet to sign. And he could become a free agent on you in the near future. We talked about Luke Green as well. There's another one. And maybe a bit of a sleeper D pick in the Jets system could be Sammy Niku. I don't think too many people have heard about him, but I think he's relevant as well.
All right. I'm just scanning our Ask the Superfans, and I think we've actually covered most of that. Peter, you were good enough to actually answer a whole bunch of them right there on the old Twitter. So thank you for that.
Sure.
I guess that's it for prospect talk today. We're going to be more interested in this because this is pretty much the time where this is all we have to look forward to over the next few months. Unless we start cheering for another team.
Interesting thing on Cody Glass. I'm aging myself, but my 17-year-old grew up with him and is friends with Cody Glass, and he is of course related to ex-Jet Tanner Glass. So anyways.
Oh wait, is that actually true?
It is true.
Oh, I made that as a joke on Twitter. I didn't know that was actually real.
He is related to Tanner Glass, and he used to get play with the girls by saying that he was related to Tanner Glass back when they were in junior high. So
the new GST.
That just confirms that he's going to be picked by the Jets. So
GST.
All right, so Peter, thanks for joining us, and I will go through all the credentials again for people. Listen to the DPR show, the Dauber Prospects radio show, which Peter, since we spoke when we were in Peterborough, I have listened to quite a few times. It's on my podcast list. And so particularly like when you talk OHL, because that's in my backyard. So please more. And managing editor over at Dauber Prospects and writer for McKean's Hockey and Today's Slapshot. And if you want to know about fantasy hockey, this is the guy to follow at P Harling over on twitter.com. Any other plugs that I've missed?
No, that's pretty good. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us today, and hopefully we'll chat soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right.
Thanks, bud. Yep.
So, guys, other Jets stuff. How about that game today? Minnesota Wild up, 4-0 early in the second, give up a 4-0 lead, come back and get the 5-4 win. A big win for Michael Hutchinson, his first win since December, and breaks a 4-game losing streak. So is it all rosy today? Are we all happy just for a little bit of time with the Jets or what?
No.
No, not at all.
It's one of those wins that's kind of just like, it's a slap in the face because... it's a win, but now it's just going to hold back any potential progress.
Yeah, wins are detrimental to the Jets' future at this point.
Yeah, but we got the same thing as last year, right? Where it's like the players aren't playing to lose. Like, the players are going to keep playing to win. So what can you do? What can you do about it?
Yeah, fuck it.
Put Brian straight on the first pair.
So we had our first... time with Brian straight out there. I mean, it's funny because I saw a whole bunch of a lot of flames being thrown towards the organization for the defense, and as much as my instinct is to poo-poo over these kinds of things, what are you gonna do when four of your guys now are out of the lineup from your top six? Like, what are you really gonna do? Like, no one has that kind of depth.
No, but you could have you didn't have to have straight. Right, and you didn't have to have Melchiori as your first recall. You could have had some guys off of waivers, some guys that were free agents that were better players that were signed for the same money as Strait was. So, yeah, you're right, but you could have had some guys there. And to be fair, they should have been playing as soon as Myers was injured as well, right? Whoever the other people would have been. The only reason why these guys aren't playing is because they're not good enough.
Yeah, I'm kind of tired of complaining because that's all I seem to do.
In everything you do.
Yeah. But hey, well, my biggest complaint about today is the reason why the Paul Maurice pulled Connor Hellebuyck. Like, did you hear the presser after?
No.
Maurice said that he put Hutchison in net for the third period because he didn't like the third and fourth goals.
I don't know.
He had 35 shots against in two fucking periods. He made 31 saves. The Jets had 12 shots on net. But yeah, you know what? I don't like the third and fourth goal, so I'm going to pull Connor Hellebuyck. Like, give me a fucking break.
I don't know. I'm not too worried about Hellebuyck anymore. Like, he's got a long string of starts. He's done fine. Like, they haven't won a lot of them, but they've played him over and over and over and over again. So, I mean, you have the goals, but it's also just, at this point, it's not like when they benched him for Pavlik. He's going to be back. Like, I don't know. I don't feel as worried about that.
I'm not worried about it. I'm just thinking that it's fucking bullshit. I'm sorry.
Well, they won the game.
Yeah, sure, they won the game. I don't know. Whatever.
The Hellebuyck thing is just—it's getting to me so much. The we need a goalie. Some guy behind me when I was leaving the game today said Hellebuyck was awful today. I'm like, did you watch the first two periods? You were there. You're at the game. Like you said, 31 saves. Like, maybe how about the fact he kept them in a game they had no business being in? Dubnyk let in, what, 4 goals on 20 shots, 5 goals on 21 shots,
You let in 4 goals on 12 shots when Hellebuyck got pulled.
Exactly. And
like,
so
let's look at that line. There's one goalie lets in 4 goals on 12 shots, and the other one lets in 4 on 35 shots. Guess which one gets pulled from the game?
Well, I just don't understand. If you're trying to protect the guy, why aren't you protecting him? He's been rolled out there, what, 15 straight starts now? So if you're actually protecting him, which is why you pulled him, why aren't you actually protecting him? Why are you letting this sort of we don't have any choice, of course, right now, but a defensive core that looks like that, like, that's just, like, put Hutchinson in then. Let him start. What's it going to hurt?
Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
So much. I mean, we won, guys. Yay.
Yay!
Yeah.
No team can win when they don't need to, like the Winnipeg Jets.
Exactly.
Adam Lowry had a goal and an assist. They're keeping him. Yay!
Stop.
Bye-bye,
Matty P.
He had a couple of assists, too, so come on.
Yeah, small Matty P.
But he's 5 years older and smaller, so come on.
Anything else from the week that was either? I mean, it was full of losses, right? They had a lot. Well, and they weren't coming off a bunch of losses. They beat the Islanders, 4-2 in their last game on the road trip. But before that, they lost to, Nashville, right? In overtime.
Yes.
So in that game, I think they gave up leads as well. So,
yeah,
it hasn't, you know, I mean, now they're out of it. They're way, way out of it at this point. They've got 10 games left, and they're, as of tonight, they're 10 points out. So, Chris, your 10-10 rule is in effect.
It's official now. Now it's official.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are we really looking for over the next 10 games? And by the way, Patan's been getting, better line mates, right? In the last, I guess he heard our Ask a Jet. Yeah.
That was the most exciting thing to happen in the last 3 weeks was the Ask a Jet.
Well, I thought Paul Postma against the Islanders, I thought he played incredible. He did give up a puck that ended up in the back of the net, of course, because that's just the way things go for guys like Paul Postma, but I thought he played incredible. And what do you know? He was playing with Morrissey and not playing with an anchor strapped to his foot. And then he goes and gets hurt, which I think is really disappointing.
That's just Paul Postma's career with the Jets in a nutshell, right?
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
Dude can't catch a break.
No, he can never catch a break. He plays for the Jets. That's the first clue.
Yeah.
Wait till he's good on whoever he signs with next year.
So who have they officially shut down for the year so far? I mean, Myers, obviously, Pavlik. Is that it so far?
Matthias
also shut down. So that amazing third line that's supposed to be a fourth line is been broken up and cops on it, right?
Best third line in the NHL.
Yeah, there's a new name for that line, you know. Somebody coined them AAA for Andrew, Armia, and Adam. Awesome. The AAA line.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, that nickname is awesome.
All right. Now, I think we have a unanimous opinion around the board here on a Jets topic, but not really on ice hockey topic. Was that ask a Jet thing? And for everybody who doesn't know, and I'm sure if you're listening to this show, you're very well aware. But so after all of the venom coming out online about the Jets not giving Nick Batan any ice time or putting him behind Thorburn, the team comes out and they do an Ask a Jet Twitter segment where they have Twitter folk ask Nick Batan questions. Now, do you think they really expected the people were going to be like, hey, what's your pregame ritual? What do you like to eat the day of the game? Who, like,
I think they really did. I think yeah. They're totally oblivious to the temperature of the fan base. They're totally oblivious. They're totally oblivious to the reach that Twitter has and what could result from it. Like, how would you possibly, with any good judgment, make that happen? Have Nick Batan answer questions.
Him, Chris Thorburn, or Mark Stewart, what are you doing? Anybody else, you have no problem.
Well, the last one they did was Sean Matthias, and it went off, and nobody fucking noticed shit, right?
I didn't even know what happened.
Yeah, the last one was Sean Matthias. Of course, they probably got two questions for the whole day.
They're like,
right?
Who are you? And why did you take my number?
They only got four questions for Patan, too, other than the other ones.
He answered, yeah. we have three of the worst question askers for that whole day on the show today. Like,
I mean, I saw the post that they put up, and it was just like, immediately I was like, oh, shit, like, get your popcorn, everyone. Like, I knew that this was going to happen the moment I saw it. Now, some people got a little upset, right?
Why?
So, Alan, I've spent my whole life shooting from the hip and waking up the next morning and being really regretful of things I've done and especially things I've said. And then I usually reflect, right, and go, okay, I have taken all the hours since that happened and I can't believe or figure out or fathom how anybody, like, what are you mad at? Usually I can look back and go, okay, I get it, right? Like, oh, it shouldn't have this or whatever. What person doesn't want a customer defending their honor, if you will, to a big employer? I can't fathom how anybody could have been upset by it. Usually I can figure out, okay, I get what you're saying. This time I do not. I don't get it.
And again, for people that aren't as familiar with what happened, the questions that came out weren't things like, we don't like you, you suck, like you're a bad player. It was all about how people believe that he's being misused. And you're right. In a sense, everybody was standing up for him. They were doing it tongue-in-cheek, or let's just be honest, sometimes kind of dickish to the team, but not to the guy.
No.
There's a difference in being a dick to a specific person rather than, you know, a big corporation.
For some people, it's okay to be a dick
to
a person, but not a corporation. So that's Jeff logic.
People are offended because they were directed at Nick Batan. Just like people are offended every time somebody tweets at a jet, and they're afraid that the jets are offended by whatever is being said. Like that Jertz account, people were offended at the jokes the Jertz account was tweeting out there, because they were at certain players, and you know, and maybe it reflects bad on the fan base and the city of Winnipeg,
except
or whatever it is.
Unless you blow the team hugs and kisses and you tell our current captain, like, flat out that you think, what, he's an asshole and should get the fuck out of town, if we remember that.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, but you beat me to it.
But it's okay for in everyday Twitter to scroll through and see guys say, Patan's a fucking bomb, or, oh, that guy sucks. That's okay. But it's not okay to do it the other. Like, the logic is just lost on me.
But they didn't add Patan. That's the problem. That's what people are offended about.
Yeah, because Nick Patan doesn't know how to search for his own fucking name on Twitter.
Well, yeah, and, you know,
so they're calling him stupid,
totally
too.
Critical. Like, the people judging what people were asking, you know, it's just, it totally boggles my mind. Like,
I mean,
are you really that serious that you're that offended by it?
We know what they search for, right? We know they search for their names. We know they search for the NHL Jets hashtag, because that's how Ladd found my tweet that he favorited. Like, they know how to look for it. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I don't know Nick Patan. None of us know Nick Patan. But I'm going to bet you that Nick Patan, you know, he's going to not say anything publicly, but probably on his own, he either doesn't give a fuck because he's a professional, he's laughing about it.
He's laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, first of all, are getting paid money to play hockey. Criticism is part of that job. And second of all, what do you think they spend 60 minutes a day on the ice doing but chirping each other? I saw somebody say, you're making Chris Thorburn feel bad if he reads that. Come on. Making Chris Thorburn feel bad? Maybe his game should be making him feel bad.
Yeah, Chris Thorburn has no problem getting his fucking butt whipped in fights on the ice, but we're the ones that are truly hurting him with our words on Twitter.
Like, jeez.
The team that made him fight in front of his daughter.
Exactly.
To justify his spot on the ice.
You know, one second the Jets tweet out a picture of him saying hi to his daughter, and like literally 10 minutes later he's dropping the gloves with her in the presence. But whatever, I don't care. Like, why do people care what Chris Thorburn thinks at this point? He's got like 5 games left or whatever, 9 games left in his NHL career with the Jets. Unless they obviously, you know what, I wouldn't put it past them to re-sign him. But.
No, I'm. It's probably going to happen.
Oh, are you serious?
Moose captain.
I don't.
Like, honestly, though. But
he's
honestly, I was thinking.
He's our most versatile forward. He can play on fourth line. He fights. Oh, man. That guy.
He can skate. Remember that?
Him and Mark Stewart are everything the Winnipeg Jets are all about.
Losing.
Just remember that.
Yeah, that's not wrong.
I was thinking that today at the game. I was like, okay, they're now, you want to talk about loyalty? They're literally going to not let a guy like Roslovic play the last 9 games with the team in order to let him play out his string with the franchise.
That is exactly what's going to happen. And the last
give him a gold hockey stick or something at the end. You know what I mean? And it's like, you're going to not let some guys play because you are too loyal to just say, that's it, you know? Same thing they should have done with Pavlik. They should have just said it's done.
What if
rather than sending him down?
But guys, just imagine, what if they give him a video tribute in the middle of the last home game of the year?
Well, like, they won't do that, right? Because they're not going to publicly acknowledge that he's done with the team right then. Like, they didn't do it with Slater last year either, right? They'll do it the tribute when he comes back with whatever AHL team plays against the Moose next year.
What?
You mean there's not a bunch of teams? Exactly, a bunch of other NHL teams wanting him?
What do you put on a Thorburn tribute tape anyways?
Oh, well.
And losing in every fight.
Like Rocky's first fight against Drago.
His, what, 12 career goals? You can put all of them on the tape?
Well, there was that one accidental toe drag goal against the Sabres, right? Remember that one? You guys remember that?
True. Yeah. I remember it.
I'm looking up. How many career goals does he have? He had one season where he scored like
24, 10. I think.
No, he's got more. He's got 49 goals.
49. I just checked because I was curious to know how come all these other teams that are really good don't have guys like him anymore on their team. Somebody said, well, the Blackhawks have Jordan Tutu, and that was the only comparison I got. Well, I wouldn't really compare the two of them, but.
By the way, this guy was.
Statistically, they're pretty close.
This guy was at one time a 50 goal scorer, just so you know, with the Sioux Thunder of the North Ontario Hockey Association. So, in all your faces.
Yeah. Suck on that!
Yeah. You know, when he was with the Atlanta Thrashers, I mean, he put up 18, 15, 13, and 19 point seasons, which, you know, it's not wonderful, but that's better than anything he's done with the Jets.
Well, I saw something interesting today. He scored a goal in Los Angeles more recently than the Buffalo Sabres, and he did that in Atlanta.
That's you know what? Did you see that? That's a big thing now. People are using Atlanta Thrashers stats to teams across the NHL. Yeah,
they should do it against the Jets.
All right, we're
they can include the Jets. That's the best part. they're still relevant.
So we got a hard stop on a recording time today. So I'm going to go right to Ask the Superfans, and I'll just read through them until we're out of time. We got about 10 minutes left. So Ask the Superfans, write us at AIH Superfans is the handle on Twitter. You can follow us there too for dumb polls and dumb retweets and notices of when our dumb shows will go up. Use the hashtag Ask the Superfans if you want us to read something on this show for answers. A bunch for Peter Harling, and again, thanks Peter for answering them. Here we go. Hashtag extension at SuperJetsFan. What happens when they extend Pomo and start the season, I guess next season, 10-18-3? Then what?
They're not going to do shit. They're going to extend him and eat his contract. They're gonna ride him until Howard Chuck
decides to coach the team.
Howard Chuck, who went 17-51 with the Barry Colts this year.
Yep. Yeah.
It was at the game today after Barry lost their last game, I think yesterday. So, yay. Roddy Bats 13 at Big Pappy Peg City. I don't know who that is. Why is Thorburn so good at fighting? He's not. That's a joke question. And we don't take joke questions on here because they are offensive and hurt our feelings.
Ask a super fan.
Mikey McMikeface, Mike_Young, what did you enjoy more, the Thorburn Stewart fight or Ukrainian men's choir?
The choir, hands down.
The volume wasn't loud enough in the arena. Something with the mic, so you couldn't hear them as well in the arena. What I could hear were great, but it wasn't as good as it was on TV, clearly. They were awesome.
Well, but did they wake up the Winnipeg Jets like the Thorburn fight? Because right after that fight, the Jets scored, right? So
that's right.
Andy Rolfe at Patty Bear XYZ. Hey, guys, who will the Jets protect/expose in expansion draft, and who will Vegas pick?
The only thing that matters is Adam Lowry will be a Jet forever, and Matty P is gone. That's the most important
thing. I still think Lowry's gone. I think he's, despite the jokes, I think that it's Lowry that goes.
I hope it is, but at this point, I don't know.
I've been all over the map, and I'm a lot more certain than I was that they're gonna have to keep 4D because of Myers, and I'm positive you have to protect Perreault as the fourth, but. The defenseman thing, like, well, that's the thing. It's like, you keep thinking, okay, they have so many forwards, so they want to keep forwards. But the reverse of that is if you have so many forwards, that's who you should let go. And so you should go 4-4 because you have so much forward depth. And we keep thinking of it the other way that, like I say, well, you have so many, you want to keep all of them. I think maybe they're going to think about it the other way.
The shine on Adam Lowry has been so bright this year that I can't see them not protecting him.
Yeah, that's...
You know what? And Pomo loves him. If Pomo gets an extension, how does he not get protected? I don't get it. If all signs are pointing to Paul Maurice getting extended, I can't see them not protecting Adam Lowry.
Oh,
period. How is any coach that's continuing to let Patrick Laine warm a bench during a power plays getting anything other than the boot? Honestly, I was so angry today.
Because his boss is Kevin Cheveldayoff.
What are you doing?
He's getting an extension. It's bona fide. Gary Lawless has been trumpeting that for the last 3 months.
Well, Lawless won't say anything against the coach or general manager until they're already out the door, and then all of a sudden he's got lots of stories. So that's
but he won't say anything unless he's getting some sort of
income. Oh, it's never the coach's happening. Fault. Never, ever. A week before Claude Noel got fired, it wasn't Claude Noel's fault how lousy they were. Anyway, that's
all right. Sleeve McDykel at Dr. Pesci asks, do Thorburn fights motivate Jets to do more positive things on ice, like score more goals?
Yes.
4-5 goals today.
Hey, I tweeted that I want people in my workplace to fight so that I'm not such a lazy fucker at my job. I'd be like, oh, when you punch each other, it motivates me to do more. This one is for Brian from Jet Strolling at Jet Strolling. Can Brian do a breakdown as to the good, bad differences and nuances in jerseys next year with the new supplier?
We don't have enough time.
That's a whole segment.
Do it in a minute, and then we'll do
Fanatics, shitty. I'm just going to keep buying the Reebok jerseys next year on clearance, and you probably shouldn't buy any Fanatics jerseys either unless you like Walmart jerseys.
Storm with Walmart. Great. Did you see all that? Well, I'm sure Brian doesn't watch a lot of CFL, but last year was the first year for the Adidas CFL jerseys, and they are ripping every play guy coming off the field.
Oh, yeah. It's the same
every play.
Football, too.
Yeah.
Adidas isn't even doing the NHL jerseys or the.
Just the logo.
Yeah, for the fans, they're not doing them.
It's great.
Just the on ice jerseys.
Well, I can't wait for those clearance jerseys though, because there was a whole bunch at the stores around here. They were selling jerseys for $9.99.
Really?
Yeah, Ladd jerseys and Kessler jerseys for $9.99. I don't give a fuck whose name is on it. I'd buy a Thorburn jersey for $9.99.
And hell, you could get it stripped anyways.
And on a side,
I'd buy any jersey for $9.99.
On a side note, those Heritage jerseys are not being used ever again.
Oh yeah.
Adidas will reissue them so that they're a little different, and we got to buy new ones again.
That's what's going to happen.
Today was official. The last time that they're going to wear that Heritage jersey, and they're not going to make them with the Adidas guys. They're not.
There's going to be no thirds next year. That's why.
Yeah. Here's what I've always said about sports. All four sports. I don't care. Four jerseys: home, away, alternate. Throwback. So simple. Why don't they just all do it that way? Too logical?
Yeah.
What's so hard about that?
See the Leafs do their St. Pat's jerseys yesterday for what, one game? Yes. And that's another $150 a pop that people will pay for them?
I want one.
They actually look decent on TV, actually.
They look fantastic.
They should have had green screen behind them so you could just, like, with psychedelic stuff. And yeah. Just. Last question. We have Kevin Doherty at Magic Toaster FI1 says, and, of course, contributor to Arctic Ice Hockey recently, what did you hear the most this season? 1, he'll want that one back. 2, what's Buff doing? 3, didn't Patan make this team?
What's Buff doing for certain?
Yeah, Buff has definitely been the whipping boy this year.
Yes.
I still hear plenty of he caught a piece of that from what's his name? Bayak.
Well, not when Hellebuck's in net. Pavlik was in net, it would ring off the post and he was like falling off his chair about what a great save it was. Now Hellebuck makes an incredible save and he's like, did he get a piece of that?
Pavlik may have had a piece of that.
Oh, there's never any doubt. Pavlik always gets a piece of it.
Great. He's going to get a piece of the KHL next year. Hopefully. Yeah, big piece.
Yeah, piece of that 7-year extension.
So there you go. That's all our Ask the Superfans this week. I think I'm going to click on the hashtag just to see if I missed something, but I don't think I did. Hashtag Ask the Superfans, and my Twitter's, or my internet's slow, so fuck it. And go to @ArcticIceHockey or AIH Superfans and, find us. So before we wrap things up right at an hour, anything else anyone wants to throw in there?
Go just
fire everybody.
All right. On that happy note, we are your super fan pals again. My name is Alan on Twitter. Find me, the most hated Jets fan out there, at Slip with Five Eyes, or Slip.
Yo, it's Pappy. You can send all your hate towards me, Big Pappy Peck City.
I'm Brian from AIH, and if you saw the Metro Winnipeg article, I was the Twitter headline, and I finally got my credit.
Yeah, good job.
We all were in that article, by the way.
Oh yeah,
Except for me.
It took somebody harassing the writer of the article.
Well, he should have put the fucking credit. He's using your work.
I totally agree. Talking about the troll dungeon.
Yeah.
And he made it even worse.
And Chris, your handle?
Yeah. CMAC Live. Come follow me. It's great.
If you want to give me, you have an opportunity, everybody. If you want to hate me in person, I will be at the game on Tuesday against the Flyers. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And if you guys want, you guys should tweet Chris and ask him to do a little rap for you and post it on Periscope, because he's quite the rapper.
There you go. I want to hear.
Excuse me. Yes, Jesse. I can rap every organized rhyme song ever written. So nice. If you want, we can do that. Sure.
By the way, also one more thing: follow us on subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't. We're also on Stitcher, but you can subscribe to the show so you don't have to listen to whenever we just post it and then get super excited. We posted our show on that article from last week, and all of a sudden our hits went through the roof. But I don't think anyone actually listened. So please subscribe.
9,000 hits last week, guys. And 9,000.
It's just like, I don't think that out of the blue we went from probably about 150 to 9,000 people. So
we did have like 250 downloads though.
Yay! Keep downloading, everybody. Go. Because it's fun.
Wow.
And it strokes our egos. And Chris, it's how it's rising since you've been here. So yay.
Yeah, well, I've been pushing it a little bit on some other platform. So that's good.
All right, everybody. Awesome. Thanks a lot. Until next week, or about a week from now, go Jets go. Woo!